And good morning, everyone. Mike Burge along with you on the comment program this morning. And today's program is a paid advertisement by Eric Scott for Cherry County Attorney. We have Mr. Scott with us. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Mike. It's exciting to be back here.
Yeah, you're still writing notes. I've got one sheet of paper over here, and you've got all kinds of stuff that you've prepared for us to talk about today. So that's great.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike, and I appreciate the opportunity for you to allow me to come in here and give some facts and figures and give the truth to the people.
This must be the way you prepare for a case. You've got everything that you may need, but a lot of it you may not need. Because it's going to be pretty simple, just you and I sitting here talking and letting people listen. So, of course, people know November 8th is an election coming up, and you have been in the county attorney position for 20-plus years. I can't remember exactly how many years.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Longest-serving Cherry County attorney, I suppose, in our history.
I think so.
Hey.
I think so.
Well,
it's been an honor and a privilege, and it's been humbling to serve the people of Cherry County for that long.
Did you get a belt buckle or something like that, a commemorative belt buckle or anything?
I did not. I'm still looking to Bill Quigley to get me one, but I haven't gotten one.
You know, John Cook got one for his 800th career volleyball win. You'd think they'd have one for – oh, anyway.
Well, I saw that, and John's a pretty reserved guy, but it looked like it really touched him.
It did. You know, normally they give – that's volleyball.
Okay.
We want to talk about county attorney. So you've been in this office pretty well – know the system. You know the laws of Cherry County, of the state of Nebraska, and all those. And to my knowledge, I don't remember anything that Cherry County's been in trouble for since you've been there.
Well, we've been fortunate that every time that Cherry County has been sued civilly, that we've prevailed during my term. Also, I think we've got a pretty darn good track record with the serious high-profile cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I've brought a little list of those if you want to talk about some of those a little later.
Well, yeah. In fact, let's talk about the caseload.
Sure.
You know, people kind of go, well, what's the county attorney do? You know, we got a dog running at large and a DUI every once in a while. But there's a lot of things going on out there. What does the caseload in Cherry County look like, maybe compared to other counties of our, what we would call our peer groups?
Sure. Mike, the Nebraska Supreme Court separates out the state by judicial districts. And in our judicial district, we have 15 counties. Cherry County this year, and the Supreme Court does their calculations based on fiscal years, but in fiscal year 2022, Cherry County led the judicial district in criminal prosecutions. We had 293. Mm-hmm. Now, Cherry County's got a population of about 5,800 people.
Right.
Number two at 291 cases was Custer County. They've got about 11,000 people.
Over twice our population.
Yeah. Right around there. And number three at 213 cases was Holt County, and they've got over 10,000 people.
Hmm.
And one thing I'm pretty proud of, Mike, and, you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to Aaron and Deanna, our staff there at my office, because they do really hard work. But our budget is about $177,000 a year.
Seems like a fair chunk of change in there. But how's it compared to those other guys then?
Well, Custer County, the number two office that prosecutes the second most criminal cases in fiscal 2022, is over $335,000.
Wow.
And Holt County is at about $215,000.
Hmm.
So I think we prosecute these cases in an economically efficient manner as well.
So it's you have a higher prosecution rate and a lower budget to do it on. That kind of adds up to fiscal responsibility, I would think, if you were looking at that part of it, I guess.
That's what we strive for here.
So what's the definition of a county attorney? What are your duties for the county? I know prosecution of these cases, but you also advise the county commissioners and the county, trying to keep them out of in on the fairway, so to speak, and if you're golfing.
Sure. We prosecute crimes, felonies, misdemeanors, juvenile cases. We advise the county board and the county officials. We represent Cherry County whenever someone maintains an action against us. And, you know, that could be a full-blown lawsuit, which we've had several of in the last few years, or it could be something as simple as a complaint to the Attorney General's office, mm-hmm. which I'm charged with defending the commissioners or the county on.
Right.
Also, one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about or know about that I think is really important is that the county attorney reviews every estate and inheritance tax filing to make sure that Cherry County gets its appropriate amount of inheritance taxes.
Okay. That's got to be a kind of a, almost a full-time job in itself, it seems like.
Well, having the knowledge is, I'll tell you, when I started, I had to invest a lot of my time in taking crash courses in becoming up-to-date and competent in mm-hmm. inheritance tax matters. It's a complex field, as anybody who's ever done any estate planning knows, but that's something that needs to be reviewed.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have to go through all of those, then something's coming on your desk every week pretty much.
It is.
So the duties, we kind of went through duties of those. The main focus, what do you spend the majority of your time in caseload? You talked about the almost 300 cases. What's taking up your time? Is it drug-related offenses or what consumes the, for most of your time as an attorney and as an attorney's office?
Well, I would tell you this, Mike, that I think that drug-related offenses are in there. It's the serious crime. When I started, I would estimate that 80-85% of the people who appeared in county court, it was alcohol-related.
Okay.
Today, it's closer to 15-20%. We have more drugs. We have more violence. We have more people who are not from Cherry County, not a part of our community, who come here and do things.
Right.
And you know, that's not appropriate. So the serious cases, the serious felonies, those are what take up the majority of my time. Additionally, we've had some civil suits
sure.
in the last couple years that we've worked hard on, and we've prevailed on those, but those take up an awful lot of time. But the focus of my office always has been really and always will be the prosecution of the serious criminal matters.
So a lot of attorney offices specialize in one type of law or the other, but a county attorney kind of has to be the jack of all trades or something in there to be able to understand all of whether it's a lawsuit on this or a murder prosecution and when on behalf of the county to call in somebody that has better expertise at something like that. If it's a murder trial, you haven't had as much experience as some other attorney somewhere, and that's in the best interest of the county and taxpayers, I would think, to have that expert brought in.
Yes, you know, we've done that on a recent murder trial. I'm working with the Attorney General's office for a couple reasons. One, we've prosecuted quite a few for a rural county manslaughter cases, but your insurance company doesn't want you trying murder cases alone anymore. It's not 1970, and you're familiar with all of the judicial projects that are out there with the DNA that come and try and reverse cases. And, you know, obviously the famous Beatrice Six case where some people were wrongly convicted.
Right.
And that's the reason you don't have one person trying murder cases anymore. Yeah. But – and the AG's office is great to work with. We've always had a super relationship with them, and they've even – called us to consult on a couple matters that are kind of unique. But
well, and I know some things you can't comment on because
sure.
you've got ongoing type things, so we're not going to get too far into that. I was hoping that we could get you and your opponent in the same room at the same time and we could kind of have just a discussion on all this. And she didn't want to do it in that format, so I guess we're going to do this separate. But anyway, so let's go on and we'll talk about some of the other things that fines.
Well, Mike, I really can I say one thing?
Sure.
I really appreciate your willingness to do that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that she's chosen not to appear. We offered to pay for the time ourselves. I think that it's unfortunate for the people of Cherry County because when you have two people running for office, the people should be allowed to listen to each candidate and vet their views on their own. And, you know, we have got an adversarial legal system. You know, you go into court with your briefcase by yourself and you prosecute a case against someone. And, you know, it's adversarial in nature. And that's one thing that, you know, when you're the county attorney, you can go to court one day and you can have 10 or 12 defense lawyers all there on the opposite side, and you've got to be prepared and you've got to be competent and you've got to be ready to take them all on that day and then do it again next week.
Oh, I was going to say week after week that can happen to that. Well, I'm glad that you were able to come in today to do this program with us. But let's talk about – somebody had asked us about fines, and is it the county attorney's job to collect fines? Or even if it's if the judge sentences turns into a deadbeat parent or something, not paying child support and those things, does that fall under your jurisdiction to try to collect those?
Well, there's two separate matters there. The child support, the county attorney does in fact go and do any sort of judicial action, any action in court that needs to be taken.
Okay.
The management of those cases and the collection now goes to the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay.
And I've gotten that same question, and I think it came from a radio advertisement that my opponent did, and that's okay, saying that it's the county attorney's duty to collect fines that are levied by the court. And you know, what that comes back to is a couple times our clerk of the district court has fallen behind in collecting those fines. And what we've done is we've pitched in and said, absolutely, we're glad to help. We'll help you. We'll help the judge. Because I really think that everyone pulling in the same direction who works for Cherry County makes for good government.
Sure.
You know, we didn't get any extra compensation or a pat on the back or anything and weren't looking for one. But to say that it's the duty of the county attorney's office is absolutely false. First, it's not contained in the list of statutory duties.
Okay.
And second of all, the Nebraska Supreme Court has addressed that question. And, you know, it's sad when people say things like this because they're either not telling the truth or they don't know the law. But either way, it's not good for the people of Cherry County to have someone doing that. And what the Nebraska Supreme Court has said is that the courts have the inherent power on their own to enforce their judgments and collect their fines.
Right.
So that's that issue that you've been hearing about.
All right. So what about – there's another issue that I hear about – what is the discretion of a county attorney when a case is turned over to you from the police department as far as prosecution? Let's say it's a DUI. So is it up to the discretion to make sure that the case is there to prove that and all the evidence and all those kind of things? But do you guys have discretion on that? And what I'm getting to here, Eric, is people that say that there's the magic list out there somewhere, that these are the people you don't prosecute and these are the people you can prosecute and stuff. And as far as I know, I've talked to every sheriff, every police department, county attorneys has been you for so long, but I've not been privy to seeing a list from anybody that they can or can't do anything to.
Oh, I heard that magic list rumor when I got out of law school and went to work for Jerry O'Keefe, and there was a different county attorney.
I forgot you worked with Jerry when you came here.
Yes, I did. Okay. And, you know, that rumor, that innuendo has been around in every county attorney, every sheriff in every rural county forever. But let's talk about that for a second, Mike.
Please do.
Let's talk about the charging. I think that there is a two-part analysis that happens every time you get a report. One, you take a look at what someone has been cited for or arrested for, okay? and you've got to take a look about the constitutionality of this. Does it fit the general, broad, overall rules? Were things done right before it gets to you? Okay. And I'm a big believer in the Constitution, Mike, because if we abandon the Constitution, then what we have is just mayhem.
Sure.
And I'll just say it now, what we're seeing on the federal level today just scares me as far as the Department of Justice and some of the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, raiding a former president's house, that abandons 230-some years of constitutional law.
Yeah.
Don't feel comfortable with that. So number one, you look at the Constitution. Number two, you look at the elements of the statute or the parts of the crime that's charged. And you've got to make sure that everything that happened fits the crime you're charging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And then let me tell you what's unique about the Nebraska statute, which is why personal beliefs and personal politics and fitting and conforming to the community are so important. The county attorney is supposed to look at each matter and determine whether he's in, one, possession of sufficient evidence to get a conviction, and two, whether he can go to trial and obtain a conviction.
Okay.
So what the legislature said back in the 1800s when they wrote this is, prosecutors, we are giving you broad discretion, but your boss and your litmus test in this matter is the community in which you live.
So the greater good is kind of like, you know, I would use the example. I got to admit, I had an issue with the county attorney back in the high school days. Who didn't, probably at some point.
I can't imagine that, and Mike.
I think it was Bill Quigley, matter of fact. So anyway. But anyway, yeah, I mean, and they had the discretion to say, well, you know, you guys had some beer, and first time we've ever seen you guys here, and we're going to just reprimand you. We're not going to fine you. We're not going to do anything like that. So in that case, it was, you know, we've scared you guys enough that you're not going to do this again, we hope. So you have that kind of discretion as to say, is this good for the community to move on this or not?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have tried to help people, help the people that can be helped. And the people that do bad things, though, they need to be punished and they need to be dealt with. And we have got a long and very successful track record of dealing with the people who do bad things. But we're not adverse to helping people.
And that's out there. That's for the public to look at. I mean, they can access those records from over the years.
They can access those records. They can go to the courts and look at those records, or they can go down to the newspaper office and look at those records. And we try and do it in a conservative, discreet fashion. You know, we don't need to call the Omaha World Herald every time we convict somebody of something.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you about your open door policy, and I also want to get into, here's a question for down the road. We talked a little bit about how things are happening on a federal level, and people go, well, what's that got to do with Cherry County? County government is your basic form of government. That's, they have a lot of power that people don't, you know, understand, I guess, in there. So you need to start local and then hopefully affect the federal guys up there somewhere. Which the Second Amendment, how does that apply to a local county attorney? I mean, a lot of people go, well, that's a federal issue. County attorneys really don't have that much to do with it. But how does that affect you and your office and your daily duties?
Well, first of all, Mike, I'd say that I'm a strong advocate for the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is one of the most important amendments contained in the Bill of Rights, and it was a protection against government. If you go back and read the Federalist Papers, you know, the folks who wrote the Constitution, the framers, knew that one of the things that the crown in England and the monarchies throughout Europe did was to deprive people of the right to defend themselves when in order to take their freedom and exercise control over them. And that wasn't going to happen here. And I think that that is an important thing to remember. I think that people have the right to keep and bear arms as they see fit. They have the right to defend themselves and their homes and their families.
And, of course, in our part of the country, I would say most vehicles probably have some type of a firearm or weapon in them. And so anybody that could get stopped could come to your desk and say, well, these guys had a firearm in their vehicle or whatever. But do you have some discretion on that to be able to say, well, you know, they weren't doing anything with it. It was just there. It's been there and has been under the back seat or whatever. You can look at that as far as a community level too?
Absolutely. You know, what you try and do is you apply good common sense. I would tell you a few years ago, and I won't say their names because everyone knows them, we had a young state patrolman who stopped a couple gentlemen from Valentine who were coming back from hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we have some guns in the vehicles. And I think it was a speeding. And he took their guns out of the vehicle and just made a great show of it. We don't need that sort of thing.
Right.
I would tell you that Cherry County has one of the lowest incidences of gun violence in the state. And oh. Nebraska has some of the lowest incidences of gun violence in the nation. You know, what we are here is responsible gun owners. Now, that being said, when we have someone who deviates from that standard, like a man from Merriman 2 years ago who shot his son in the stomach, it's difficult to even talk about. He shot his son in the stomach. We prosecuted him, and he's sitting in prison for an awfully long time.
Mm-hmm. So as should be. So let's talk about sentences. You talked about this guy going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
County attorneys don't get to set a sentence. They can make recommendations, I think, can't they? But the judge actually is the one that does the sentencing.
That's correct, Mike. We can make arguments,
mm-hmm.
and we can encourage the court. But the court is, pursuant to the Constitution, a separate and independent branch of government. The county attorney is part of the executive branch, just like the treasurer, the clerk, and the commissioners. But the judiciary and the judicial branch are separate. So we can make recommendations. We can ask for things to happen. But ultimately, the authority for sentencing lies with the courts.
Okay. So this kind of leads us into another thing. You've taken some heat about district court fines. And I don't know all the details on that. I've just heard some things about that. What can you explain a little bit about what that heat is?
Sure. That's what we touched on earlier,
yeah.
This idea that the county attorney collects district court fines. And I've got the case right here. I'm showing it to you right now, Mike.
Okay.
And it's a 1994 case. And that was the last time that the Nebraska Supreme Court addressed the idea that courts have their own inherent authority to enforce their own judgments.
Okay? So you don't have to be the tax collector on those.
No, it's not one of our statutory duties. But again, I'll be clear that if some other office needs help, we'll help them.
Right.
You know, that's what we've always done, because that just works out better for the people of Cherry County.
So I'm going to we've got 5 minutes or so left here, Eric. We could probably go on and talk about more and more of these things. But I want to kind of just – what other things are you dealing with that we need to let the public know about? You have an open door policy. You're busy, so it's kind of come hard to catch you sometimes. But
we have an open door policy. Stop by if you'd like. Give us a call. Send us an email. Absolutely. I will communicate with the community over anything. And I think that we've shown that over the last 20 years that we're willing to do that. I'll tell you, I got a phone call this morning about an issue at 7:30. Glad to take that. And I understand that maybe everyone can't do it between 9 and 5. And, you know, we're willing to do that. But, you know, Mike, you've talked about what's going on in America. I would say this, and it's very concerning. There is a creeping agenda in America that concerns me. It's unconstitutional, but you're seeing a variety of things. You see parents being threatened by the Justice Department for attending school board mm-hmm. meetings. Luckily, we don't have that. I mean, we've got excellent schools, excellent school board here, but you get the idea and the right. theme that's going on, the idea that diverse thought is not allowed. You know, if you voted for Donald Trump, watch out with the Justice Department currently, it looks like to me.
It does.
But in practical terms, I would say that one of our biggest concerns is this open southern border. And that is a floodgate of drugs and crime.
Yeah.
And crimes of all sorts, you know, human trafficking, all sorts of things. And are we seeing direct effects of it in Cherry County? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing more drugs, different kinds of drugs, and we're also seeing the indirect or ripple effects that come from that sort of lawlessness down there.
Yeah, it doesn't just stay on the border.
No, it doesn't, and it spreads out throughout the United States and it affects Cherry County. You know, in Nebraska, the Nebraska Supreme Court has ruled that essentially people who are here illegally have an additional right over average regular Nebraskans, namely that they need to be specially advised about the fact that they could be deported if they're convicted of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So in some jurisdictions, prosecutors just want them folks to move on.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not what we do here, and that's not what we're going to do here.
So you have a proven track record of 24 years, and people can go research that if they want to find out that what that track record is. The election is November 8th. Ballots come out, I believe, the 19th. We could talk about the mail-in ballot, but that's kind of a whole different realm. That's another comment program. And
that's another comment program, Mike. I would say that I think in America we've just got to disconnect our voting system from the internet. In paper or paper ballots and in-person voting, I'm a big supporter of that, but the number one step is we've got to disconnect from the internet.
I know it makes it simpler and maybe more cost-effective, but that's not always the answer. And when we're dealing with those kind of things, I wondered when they started going to voting machines connected to the internet and stuff, and then you hear about hackers that are able to break into the NASA or something or the NSA and those kind of things. It's like, wouldn't it be just as easy for somebody to get into that secure system? But anyway, that's a whole nother – we could do another program on that too. But so anyway, people will see your ballot will be – your name will be on the ballot November 8th or when they get it in the mail somewhere the 20th to the 23rd, somewhere in that range, they should be getting those ballots and your name will appear right there.
It will, Mike, and I would humbly ask for everyone's vote to be Cherry County Attorney again. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. And we've got a real investment here in Cherry County. This is the best place in the world to live, and let's keep it that way.
All right. Well, Eric Scott, candidate, the current Cherry County Attorney, candidate again coming up running for re-election on November the 8th. We thank you for being with us today, and maybe we'll get a chance to get together and do this again before the election a little bit.
I look forward to it, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right. That's our comment program for today. Paid advertisement by Eric Scott for County Attorney.